Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years' experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Profit and Beauty. Today's episode is about calculating your quarterly estimated tax payments. Tax day has come and gone. So now it's time to start thinking about how not to find yourself in a situation next year where you owe the IRS a ton of money at the end of the year. The best way to alleviate that problem is to calculate and pay your quarterly estimated taxes to both the IRS and to the state every single quarter. This way, you are minimizing the amount that you owe the IRS at the end of the year and hopefully getting a refund, which means you owe nothing. You may have paid in more. So this episode is actually a pre-recorded webinar that I recorded talking about how to calculate your quarterly estimated taxes on your own. So sit back and enjoy the webinar. Okay, so what is the webinar about? This webinar is about how to calculate your estimated quarterly taxes on your own. Okay, so before I get started, let me go ahead and introduce myself. And by the way, one of the reasons why I decided to do this class was because I have lots of people call me and contact me asking me how they can calculate their quarterly estimated taxes or wanting me to do it. And usually if you have pretty simple transactions and you don't have a whole bunch of complicated stuff going on, you can actually calculate your own quarterly estimated taxes, or there are other ways in which you can determine how much you need to pay every quarter. So I decided to do this webinar just to let people, give people options if they decide that they don't necessarily want to pay someone to help them calculate their quarterly estimated taxes. There are other ways in which they can actually calculate these taxes and get them off to the government, both the state and to the IRS. So let me start out by introducing myself. My name is Desiree Anderson. I'm a certified public accountant located in the state of Georgia. I am also an enrolled agent. And for those of you that don't know what an enrolled agent is, we are licensed by the IRS to represent taxpayers in front of the IRS. So, for example, if you are dealing with IRS, an IRS audit, if you owe the IRS money and you're trying to figure out a way or trying to set up some sort of payment plan with the IRS, or if you're trying to determine whether or not you qualify for an offer and compromise, you would contact a person like myself. Now, there are normally three different entities that are legally allowed to represent taxpayers. They are enrolled agents, certified public accountants, and attorneys. So if you're looking for somebody who is actually allowed to represent you, the taxpayer, before the IRS, those are the three people that you want to seek out. I am also a former salon owner, and licensed stylist for over 19 years. So I have been a salon owner. I've been a salon suite owner. I have been a booth renter. I was an educator for Farouk Systems. I worked for Regis. I worked for Fantastic Sam's. I was a platform artist. So I have pretty much done most everything when it comes to the beauty industry. So I am very, very familiar with our industry. And that is one of the reasons why I decided to serve this particular niche, because this is where I came from. This is my experience. So that is the reason why I decided to work with other stylists. Now, I'm an accountant and a financial guide to the hair industry. I'm also a public speaker and a financial educator. And for those of you in Georgia, I actually offer CE classes, or I provide CE credits for a license renewal. So if you're in Georgia, you can contact me if you're looking to get CE hours to renew your license. So what I do mainly, the main thing that I do, okay, so I try to bridge the gap between what we should have learned in cosmetology school about business, but did not, and what we need to know in order for us to run a financially successful beauty business. Because I don't know about you, but when I was in cosmetology school, when it came to the business portion, all I actually learned was business as it relates to how to run a business within the salon framework. So what did you need to do when it came to shop duties, just to make sure you're doing things properly in the salon? They never really taught us the things that we need, or gave us the tools that we needed to go out into this world and actually run a real life business. So I try to bridge the gap between what we didn't learn and what we need to know to run a business. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. So what's the agenda for this webinar? The agenda is as follows. We'll be talking about who is required to pay estimated taxes. We'll be talking about calculating your estimated taxes. Quarterly estimated taxes due dates. When are the estimated taxes due? And the reason why this is very important is because it says quarterly estimated taxes. And technically speaking, a quarter is January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So even though it says quarterly estimated taxes, the due dates are not really set up in quarters. So, and it's important that you know that. That way you estimate your taxes within the quarter as it relates to the IRS and get them off on time, okay? We'll talk about the different ways to pay your estimated taxes. We'll talk about estimated tax payments penalties. And then also I'll be demonstrating an Excel spreadsheet that I created to show you how you can use that spreadsheet to actually calculate your quarterly estimated taxes. Now, that the spreadsheet is actually twofold. You can use it strictly as a way to track your income and your expenses, and you can also use it to estimate your quarterly taxes. So either way, you can use it for either task. So if, for example, you have an accounting system that is outside of the spreadsheet, you don't necessarily have to use the spreadsheet to track your income and your expenses in order for you to calculate your quarterly estimated taxes. You can just go ahead and grab the numbers from your outside accounting system and then use the spreadsheet to calculate your taxes. And that's something that I'm going to show you during the demonstration. Okay, so who is required to pay estimated taxes? If you are a sole proprietor, an LLC, or a C corporation. So a sole proprietor, that would include possibly independent contractors and anyone who is in the gig economy. Now, when I say gig economy, I'm talking about something like, let's say, for example, you work for an app company as a hairstylist. You may be a mobile stylist and you work for an app company. Now, you have several of those. You have BGlammed, you have the Glam app, you have Priv. These are app companies, and I call them Uber for hair. And I say this because sometimes when people work with these sorts of companies, they're under the impression that they are not a business and therefore they don't have to follow business rules and regulations. And I always say, if the IRS and the state treats you like a business, then you are a business, meaning you should treat yourself like a business. So that means that if you are working in the gig economy, if you are a booth renter, you are a business owner, and therefore you are required to pay estimated taxes. If you are an LLC owner, so LLC meaning that you have registered your business with the state that you're in, and you either are a single member LLC, which means you are the sole owner of that business, or if you are a multi-member LLC, meaning that you are a partnership, you own the business with somebody else, you are required to pay quarterly estimated taxes. And of course, if you are a C corporation, you are also required to pay quarterly estimated taxes. Now, most of the businesses that I work with, or at least most of the salons that I work with, usually aren't C corporations. Normally, C corporations are usually people, larger salons, say like, I would say Regis, or like Fantastic Sam's, they tend to sometimes create corporations. But generally speaking, the salons that I work with normally are LLCs and S corporations. And of course, some of them are sole proprietors and of course, partnerships as well. So once again, anyone in business that files a tax return who works for themselves, or even if they work for a company, but they also have side income, are all required to file estimated and to file and pay estimated taxes. So if you are self-employed, or if your self-employment and your income tax combined is $1,000 or more, or $500 if you're a corporation, you are required to pay quarterly estimated taxes. And the reason why I say self-employment and income tax is because they are two different types of tax. As business owners, we pay two types of tax. We pay self-employment tax and we pay income tax. Self-employment tax is 15.3% of our income, our net income, whereas income tax is just based upon what our tax rate is. So we cannot get away from paying self-employment tax. Usually, self-employment tax is normally more than our income tax. Now, what exactly is self-employment tax? Self-employment tax consists of Medicaid and Social Security. And as you know, we all have to pay into Medicaid and Social Security, because the idea is when we retire, we are going to receive Medicaid, and we're going to receive Social Security. Therefore, it is a must that everybody has to pay into it. So if you work for a regular company, let's say you're a W-2 employee, your employer withholds Social Security and Medicaid, okay? So that's what we as sole proprietors, we as business owners, that's what we are paying. The only difference is, as a W-2 employee, you are only paying half of what we as business owners pay. As business owners, we have to pay 15.3% of what our net income is. If you are a W-2 employee, you only pay half of that, and then your employer pays the rest on your behalf, okay? So who is not required to pay estimated taxes? If you are a W-2 employee, you are not required to pay estimated taxes because your employer already withholds Social Security and Medicaid from your paycheck. Therefore, you're not required to pay estimated taxes. In addition, they withhold income tax as well from your paycheck. Now, if you are a W-2 employee, but you also have a side business, you're doing something on the side, let's say you do hair on the side or you do something else on the side, then you are required to pay quarterly estimated taxes, at least to calculate it to see if you're going to have to pay, because that income that you're receiving, the business income, nobody is withholding estimated taxes on that income. Therefore, you have to actually calculate and make the payments on your own. Then also, if you are an employee of your own S corporation with zero in distributions for that year. So let's say you own an S corporation. And as an S corporation owner, you are required by law to pay yourself as an employee of your business, which means you are on payroll. Because you are on payroll, you are automatically withholding Social Security, withholding Medicaid, and withholding income tax, both states and federal, from your paycheck. So this means that you don't have to pay estimated taxes. Now, if you anticipate getting some type of distribution from your S-corporation, then you may be required to pay estimated taxes because you will likely owe income tax on that distribution, possibly. Now, with S-corporations, it's a little bit more complicated because if you have something called basis in your S-corp, then your distribution may not be taxable. So with S-corporations, it's advisable before you start doing any sort of calculation that you speak to an attorney, you speak to an accountant, so they can help you determine the best way to move forward when it comes to calculating your estimated taxes. Other individuals that are not required to pay estimated taxes are if people that made less than $1,000 in taxes in the previous year. So if in, say, 2018, we're currently in 19, if in 2018 you happen to have paid less than $1,000 in taxes, that means that you are not required in 2019 to pay estimated taxes. Now, that being said, even though you're not required, I always say it's best practice to go ahead and pay it anyway, especially if you know that you're going to have a much better year in 2019, or let's say in the subsequent year. Let's say the prior year, you just started your business and you maybe you only brought in, let's just say $30,000. And by the time you finished, you know, all expenses and everything else, you owed less than $1,000 in taxes. However, in the subsequent year, you are on track to make maybe twice that or three times that. Well, you already know you're going to owe quite a bit in taxes. So even though you're not required to make estimated payments because you made less than $1,000 the prior year, it's advisable to go ahead and estimate your payments and pay them anyway. That way you don't find yourself at tax time, having to come up with tens of thousands of dollars to pay your taxes. Also, if you did not owe any tax in the previous year and you didn't have to file a tax return, you are not required to pay estimated taxes in the subsequent year. So how do you calculate your quarterly estimated tax payments? Well, there are a couple of ways you can do that. The easiest way is to base it on prior year. So you can base your estimate on your prior year's taxes, even if you are not in business at the time. So what does this mean? This means that all you have to do, let's say that you don't feel like going through the whole calculation, you don't feel like calculating your quarterly estimated taxes, you can just go ahead and look at your prior year tax return, and you can take that, whatever you owed in 2018, you can take the total, divide it by four, and then send a check to the IRS every quarter. So whatever your total tax came to last year, just go ahead and divide it by four and send it off in four equal installments. That is one way to do it. That's the easiest way. So if you find yourself struggling and not really knowing what you need to do, or let's say you're running late and it's time for you to actually make the payment and you're just confused, you have no idea what you need to do, then the best thing is just to go back to the prior year and calculate your taxes based on your prior year income, or rather your prior year tax liability. Now, so how do you determine how much you should pay if you decide that you want to compare this year to last year? Okay, so if your prior year's income, right, is less than 100, or rather was less than $150,000 or $75,000 if you're married filing separately, then all you're required to pay is 90% of your current year taxes or 100% of last year's taxes, whichever is less. Now, the reason why this is important is for a couple of reasons. Because you think about it, if you're paying 90% of your current year taxes, that means that you have taken the time to actually calculate your quarterly estimated taxes, and then you decided, you know what, I think I'd rather go ahead and just pay, send in a payment, a 1/4 payment from prior year. And this could be for a couple of reasons. maybe in the current year that you're in, you are making way more money than you anticipated. And for some reason, you don't really have enough to pay, or rather, you don't really have enough money left over after your expenses to pay your quarterly estimated payments. So then you decide you want to send something in and you don't want to be fined, or you don't want to be fined, assess the penalty for not making those payments. Well, what you can do is you can go ahead and look at your last year's taxes, okay? And you can look at your liability, and after you divide it in four equal payments, you can look and see how much it is. Let's assume that after dividing it into four equal payments, you're only required to send in, say, $1,000, right? However, when you look at your current year's estimate and what you're required to pay for this particular quarter, you might have had a wonderful year, quarter, and you're required to pay $3,000. Well, if you didn't plan properly, and you didn't pull money out on a regular, you know, on a monthly basis, you may not have the entire $3,000 for that quarter to make the payment. So you have a choice of either making the $3,000 payment, okay, or making the $1,000 payment that signifies your last year's tax liability. So that's the reason why, even though you actually go ahead and take the painstaking steps of calculating your quarterly estimated payments for that particular year, you may still decide to go back and pay your estimated taxes based upon last year's income. Now, one other thing is, if you made in the prior year more than $150,000, or more than $75,000 if you're married filing separately, then instead of having to pay 100% of last year's taxes, you are now required to pay 90% of your current year taxes, or 110% of your last year's taxes, whichever is less. So once you calculate your last year's tax liability, and then you determine 100% of that is, you take that 100%, whatever that total is, you divide it by four, and you send the IRS a payment every quarter. Or you can pay 90% once again of the current year's taxes. So those are options that you have. Okay, so how to calculate your estimated taxes once again? You have two options. You can hire an accountant to help you do it, or you can do it yourself. Now, if you hire an accountant, if your income fluctuates quite a bit from month to month, then usually the best solution is to probably hire an accountant, because it's going to change every quarter. And what we do as accountants is we help you project what your income is going to be for that year. So we will take your quarterly estimated tax payments, okay, for that particular quarter. Let's just say we're dealing with quarter one, because quarter one is about to end. Let's say we're dealing with quarter one. We will take your quarter one totals, and we will project based on that how much you are anticipated to make for that particular year. And then we will use that information to then calculate your estimated taxes. Now, if you decide to do it yourself, it's the same scenario. If your income fluctuates from month to month, then you want to use an estimated tax calculator. And that is what I was telling you about as it relates to the spreadsheet that I created. The spreadsheet that I created actually will help you estimate your quarterly taxes. It's a calculator, so all of the formulas have been set up to actually help you calculate your quarterly estimated payments. And I'll show you that during the demonstration. So once again, you can hire an accountant to help you out, or you can do it yourself. And doing it on a quarterly basis is very, very necessary if your income fluctuates a lot. Now, if you have a book of business where your income is pretty consistent from quarter to quarter, okay, then you may not necessarily have to calculate your quarterly estimated taxes every quarter. You could just figure out, okay, well, based on the fact that my income is pretty consistent from quarter to quarter, I'm just going to mail in the exact same amount every single quarter. Now, keep in mind, we are talking about estimates. So it's not going to be perfect. It's estimates, which means that at the end of the year, or at the end of, at the end of the year, or in April, when you finally file your taxes, you may have paid a little too much, or you may have paid not quite enough. If you've paid a little bit too much, that's okay, you'll get a refund. And if you haven't paid quite enough, that's okay too, because you'll just have to add to what you already paid. The worst thing you can do is pay nothing. Because if you pay nothing and you wind up owing, say, $15,000, which is very possible, especially when you start looking at your self-employment tax, then it's very, very difficult to come up with $15,000 at one time. It'll be a lot easier to take that $15,000, divide it by four, and make those payments every quarter. And by the way, I'm going to be putting on a workshop for people that are using QuickBooks Self-Employed. So if you are either interested in using QuickBooks Self-Employed or you currently use QuickBooks Self-Employed, then I'll be doing a workshop that's going to be about maybe 5 or 6 days. I haven't really decided how many days. We are going to start from the very, very beginning, and I'm going to show you how to set up the system from beginning to end and how to properly set things up. That way you can start to track your income and your expenses. You can also start to track your mileage if you are a mobile stylist or if you travel a lot. And also, you are going to be able to, the good thing about QuickBooks Self-Employed is it automatically calculates your estimated payments. So under those circumstances, you won't necessarily need to use this spreadsheet for that. You can just use QuickBooks Self-Employed. And also, if you do have the W-2 income, or if your spouse has W-2 income, QuickBooks Self-Employed also allows you to include that as part of the calculation. So we are going to go ahead and we are going to work together. It's going to be a hands-on workshop, online, of course, a virtual hands-on workshop, and we are going to work together to set up your system from beginning to end. I will answer all of your questions, and we will work together step by step by step. So it's going to take, ordinarily, I probably need more than 5 days, but I'm going to try to see if I can fit everything into a 5-day workshop, and if it needs to be more, then I will stretch it out, okay? So hopefully you guys will be interested in that. If you are interested in using QuickBooks Self-Employed as a bookkeeping tracking system. Now that you know the different ways that you can calculate your quarterly estimated taxes, now let's talk about when these taxes are due. So quarterly estimated taxes are due 4 times a year. Now I know that it says quarterly estimated taxes. However, you're going to notice that you're not really paying them per quarter, because normally a quarter is 3 months. There's 3 months in each quarter. But when you're paying your quarterly estimated taxes, the only payment that encompasses 3 months is the taxes that are due in April and September. Okay, so your first payment is due April 15th. That payment consists of January, February, and March. So all the income that you made in those 3 months is due April 15th. June 15th, second quarterly tax payments are due. That particular payment only encompasses April and May. So that's only 2 months that it encompasses. Quarter three is due September 15th. September 15th encompasses June, July, and August. So whatever you make June, July, and August, it is due September 15th. And then finally, quarter four is actually due July 15th of the following year, which means that September, October, November, and December is due January 15th. So as you can see, there's no rhyme or reason, because you have your first quarter, which encompasses 3 months, which is normally what a quarter consists of. Then you have your third quarter that also encompasses 3 months, which is what a quarter consists of. But then second quarter is only 2 months, and then fourth quarter encompasses 4 months. So keep that in mind when you are paying your quarterly estimated taxes. Okay, let's see if you use QuickBooks already. Okay, so let me break down the difference between the types of QuickBooks that we have. We have QuickBooks Self-Employed and we have QuickBooks Online. Then there's QuickBooks Desktop. So depending upon what your needs are, the type of reports that you actually need to track, the type of reports that you want to see in your business, the types of items that you want to track, how many streams of different income you have. When I say streams, I'm talking about, let's say you are you work behind the chair. You also have YouTube videos that you're monetizing. You also are an educator. Then that is multiple streams of income. When you have multiple streams of income, I would suggest that you go with QuickBooks Online and not QuickBooks Self-Employed, because you want to make sure you're tracking that income. You want to make sure you're tracking the income so you can see where your money's coming from. Because one thing you don't want to do is have multiple streams of income and then not knowing whether or not one of those streams is even making any money. Because if you just combine them without really looking to see what you're making where and where your expenses are going, you might have one stream that has losses every year and you didn't even know. You didn't know because you combined your income. And when you combine it, then you see an actual positive income. But what has happened is you've had the money that you made has absorbed what you lost. And you don't even know that because you weren't tracking the different streams, okay? And also with QuickBooks Self-Employed, if you have a business and you are the type of person that wants to track and let's say you don't have multiple streams of income. Let's say you have only one stream, which is you behind the chair doing hair. But you would like to track every service that you provide, because you want to see how much each service is bringing in, or you want to also track your inventory to see what you're selling. So then you would go with QuickBooks Online, because the more detail that you want, QuickBooks Online is a better solution versus QuickBooks Self-Employed. QuickBooks Self-Employed is a different animal than QuickBooks Online. So, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a brief article explaining the differences that way. And I'm going to send it out so you guys can look at it, read it, and determine what's best for you. Because I don't really want you coming to this workshop if it's going to waste your time and if QuickBooks Self-Employed isn't for you. So you need to know what solution is going to work for your business, depending upon how you run your business and the types of items you want to track and just what you want to see, the kind of reports that you want to see at the end of the day. Okay, so I'm going to answer a couple of questions. Let's see, calculating taxes owed to make the quarter payments. How would I calculate this when I am a new business owner, opened November of 2018, and my husband works a W-2 job? And we have five dependents. Wow. Congratulations to you, five dependents. And we have previously gotten a tax refund. Well, as I said earlier, if you get a tax refund and you know that you're going to get a tax refund, then you may not necessarily need to make estimated quarterly tax payments. You may want to consult with someone to find out whether or not you are required to make quarterly tax payments. But if you know you're getting a refund, you don't really have to. Now, let's assume that you don't get a refund and you have, you're self-employed, your husband is a W-2 worker. But under those circumstances, you will have to calculate your quarterly estimated taxes, but you also have to include your husband's W-2 income. Okay, so if you file jointly, now if you're married and you file jointly and one spouse has W-2 income and the other spouse has business income, then you guys will have to calculate your taxes together, okay? Now, the spreadsheet that I created, and that's one of the things that I mentioned on the explanation on how the spreadsheet works, is that if you have W-2 income, the spreadsheet that I created does not calculate W-2 income. So therefore, you have to have only business income. It only calculates individuals who have business income. It doesn't account for W-2 income, but QuickBooks Self-Employed does. Now, QuickBooks Online does not calculate estimated taxes. QuickBooks Self-Employed does calculate estimated taxes. If you get QuickBooks Self-Employed, you can set it up and include your husband's W-2 income. And it's going to ask you a ton of questions, and you just have to answer the questions correctly, set it up properly, and then when it's doing its calculations behind the scenes, it's taking into consideration your husband's or your spouse's W-2 income. Okay, so I only see the tax due chart. Okay. Yeah, that's what we're on right now. We're about to move on. Will you offer a workshop for QuickBooks Online eventually? Yes, I will, Felicia. All right, so let's move on. So how to set aside monthly payments. Now, I know this is something that is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. So for me bringing it up, I'm not trying to assume that you guys don't know, you know, don't have any idea about this, but I'm just bringing it up because sometimes the simplest things are the things that we don't do. So in order for you, let's assume that you're actually calculating your quarterly estimated taxes and you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? I always suggest that you have a separate bank account where you actually deposit the money. You want to transfer your money from your regular business account to your tax business account. And the reason is because if you don't separate the funds or you don't separate the money, then you are going to have a tendency of possibly spending the money because you see it in your account. You're like, oh, wow, it's right there. I see it. And then you don't really think about the fact that, oh, well, this money is not money to be spent. It is money that is for my quarterly estimated taxes. And then sometimes you just say, well, let me borrow money from myself and I'll pay myself back later. When it's right there in front of you and you have access to it, it's so much easier to spend. So my suggestion is to go ahead and get a separate account and then just transfer the money out from one account to the next every month. Now, what I would do is because you're calculating your quarterly estimated payments, so you're not really going to know what your payments are month to month. Once you're done with the first 3 months, then you will have an idea of, okay, well, this is what was due first quarter. You can just take the first quarter, you can take the first quarter numbers and just start to put away monthly payments based on your first quarter. So you take your first quarter payments, divide it by three, and then when April rolls around and June rolls around, you'll just put like you put the first quarter payment, or rather let me back it up. Okay, so your first quarter consists of January, February, and March. Okay, so once you've calculated that, you know how much you owed for the first quarter. Second quarter starts in April. Well, in order for you to know what your second quarter is, you would have to have calculated April and May. But you have no idea what your second quarter payments are going to be because May has not rolled around yet. So at the end of April, you will just take whatever you made in quarter one, divide it by three, and then put aside that amount for April. And then in May, you can do the same thing. And then when you finally calculate your quarterly estimated taxes in June, you will either have all you need already saved up in the bank, or you would have to add just a little bit more to make up for what you didn't add in the bank because of the fluctuation of your income. I hope that makes sense. I'm trying to make it make sense. So that is something that you should do that way, is because it's so much easier to come up with $500 every month than it is to come up with $1,500 at the end of the quarter. Just like it's easier to come up with $1,500 at the end of the quarter than it is to come up with $6,000 at the end of the year. So that is what I normally do. I normally just make sure that every month I put some money aside for my quarterly estimated taxes and I put it in a separate account. Okay, so different ways to pay your... Okay, so these are the different ways that you can pay your quarterly estimated taxes. One, the old-fashioned way, snail mail. You go ahead and you fill out the form 1040 ES and you mail it along with a check to the IRS. Simple as that. Now, not too many people nowadays use checks and snail mail. But if you do, that's an option. Another option is to pay online, which is usually the easier way. So you'll go to www.irs.gov/epay. You can pay via direct pay. And direct pay means that the IRS is going to directly debit your bank account. Or you can pay using a debit or a credit card. Now, some people don't want the IRS all in their, they don't want the IRS's hands in their account. Not that the IRS is going to take more than they should, but they just don't feel comfortable with that. So if you don't feel comfortable with the IRS directly debiting your account, then you can just go ahead and use a debit or a credit card to make your quarterly estimated tax payments. It's as simple as that. And then thirdly, electronic federal tax payment system, also called EFTPS. Now, this is the best payment method for businesses or for larger payments. If you are a C corporation, usually you are required to pay this way. If not, if you're not, you can pay this way. It's an option for you. Now, if you decide to go this route, you have to enroll. Enrollment is required. And it normally takes a few weeks to set up because after you enroll, IRS sends you this PIN number. Then you go back and you create the account with the PIN number. So it takes a couple of weeks, but it's so simple. Once you've enrolled, then all you have to do every quarter is just go onto the website and then make the payment directly from there. And it's just so easy. It's so painless. And then you can download a copy of the actual payment voucher and keep it for your records. So that is the EFTPS. You can always go online and just Google it and it's going to come up for you. So with penalties, when does the IRS normally penalize you for not paying your estimated taxes? They penalize you when you didn't make the required payments, period. So let's assume you just didn't make any payments. The IRS is going to, they're going to penalize you. Okay, so not making estimated tax payments will cause you to have to pay penalty and interest if you were required to make payments for any given year. So if you were required to make payments then and you don't make them, then you're going to be penalized. And normally when you're penalized, you see it at the end of the year, or rather in April when you file your tax return. And if you look down the line, where it shows you your tax liability, right beside that on the left-hand side, there's a dollar amount there. And that is a penalty for either underpaying or for not making your required payments. Now, if you owe money, or rather if the IRS owes you, once again, you don't have to worry about it. Same thing with, let's assume that you file your tax return late. And I think I did a podcast about filing your tax return late and not filing an extension, and how the IRS literally kills you with penalties and interest when you do this. I mean, they literally kill you. They prefer that you file your return and don't make the payment. The penalties for that is a lot less than just not filing. When you don't file, those penalties are a killer. I have seen sometimes where people have not filed their taxes and they didn't file an extension, and by the time the IRS gets done with them, the penalties and the interest sometimes is equally as high as what they actually owe to begin with. Because sometimes the assumption is when you don't file a tax return or file an extension, they're thinking in their minds, okay, are you trying to evade taxes? And they don't take that lightly. So even if you owe money, don't be afraid to file. Just file and owe money. It's okay. They're okay with that. Just it's the not filing that they're not happy with. Okay, so if you are not going to file your tax return on time, as you all know, April 15th is tax day, file an extension, and you make sure you file the extension before, at least by April 15th, because if you haven't filed it by April 15th, then it's no good. Okay, so make sure you file an extension. Now, another reason why they will penalize you is you underpaid your estimated taxes. So if you didn't abide by the 90% current year rule or the 100% prior year rule, whichever is smaller, then you are going to have to pay a penalty. So even if you made estimated tax payments, but you underpaid, you get penalized. Of course, you don't get penalized as much as you do for absolutely paying nothing, but you do get penalized. See, the exception to the 90% and the 100% rule, once again, is the $150,000 or more, where you're required to pay either 90% of the current year or 110% of the prior year. So if you don't abide by any of these rules, then you will be penalized for not paying your quarterly estimated tax payments. Okay, now, as I always say, as entrepreneurs, paying taxes 4 times a year may be a little bit challenging, but proper preparation, staying organized all year round, and keeping your books tax ready can help make it a painless and achievable task. So keeping your books tax ready, all that means is making sure that you are constantly tracking your income and your expenses. So you have to figure out for yourself what type of plan you want to be on. Do you want to track them on a weekly basis? Do you want to do your bookkeeping every other week, every month? Usually try not to go past a month. When you start going into 2-3 months, it can get quite confusing. So at least try to track your expenses or record your income and your expenses at the very least every month. But if you can do it as stylists, usually, I just find for our industry, especially if you are an independent stylist and you're not that organized, then weekly is best. But if you are very organized and you use one bank account for your business and you're not commingling funds, then you can do it every month, because you're organized and everything is right there. And all you have to do at the end of the month is to just go ahead and, you know, just record the income and expenses. Now, if you use a bookkeeping system like QuickBooks Self-Employed or QuickBooks Online, there are ways to set it up where it's automated, where you can set things up and you can create rules that does everything for you in the background, which means when you turn on your computer and at the end of the month, what you need to, you want to go ahead and do your bookkeeping, most of it has already been done. So all you really have to do is to record the 1 or 2 or 3 transactions that don't have a rule. Those transactions are usually ones that are not very common. And then you want to just go back to look and see the transactions that the system automatically recorded for you. You just want to look at that to make sure that everything was done the way it should have been done. And it takes not a whole lot of time, okay? And to me, that is a blessing, because most people don't like doing bookkeeping. So if it's set up properly, then there are ways around that. Okay, so let's go ahead and do a short, or rather, let me just show you how this spreadsheet actually works. And that's the end of the webinar. Everything else within the webinar is visual. So I actually was showing the attendees how the spreadsheet actually works, and that will not come across well on a podcast. It's something you have to actually visualize yourself. So if you're interested in watching this video showing how the spreadsheet actually works, or if you would like access to the spreadsheet, then you can click the link in the show notes and you will be directed to the page where you can access the video as well as the actual spreadsheet. But once again, I'd like to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to my podcast, and hopefully I will see you guys next time. Have a great day, everyone.